Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
What's going on, Sicko? This is Robert.
Well, good morning, Robert. It's our Friday, buddy.
Yes, it is.
During the break, I was looking up on these spaghetti worms or whatever you want to call them that are in these, you know, fish. They're common in croaker, trout, redfish, drum, but they're totally harmless to us, but it does say in general, the saltier the water and the less polluted it is, the higher the levels are of infection for, you know, these worms to be prevalent in fish. This may be due to either one of the intermediates host or the larva worms need for saline in unpolluted waters. So I just tell you, a lot of the fish being caught down that way, they've been in salty water for a long time. So, because I notice up my way where I'm more brackish, more fresh, I don't see as many worms. It's either due to that or more pollution, which probably is a little bit of each up my way. But it says many people don't even bother to remove them before cooking. And I never have because I had an uncle that was a marine biologist, said they were totally harmless to us. It says here, while cooking does, of course, kill the worm, even without cooking, they are not a human health problem. No human infections have been recorded, and researchers have been unable to infect warm-blooded animals with the parasite. So, good fish and bon appetit. All right, let's get to our phone lines this morning. And if you do care to call in, here's our number, 713-572-4610. All right, next up here is Ian. Ian, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. And you?
Man, I'm on 45 southbound right now, about to go give it a whirl in the wash.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, the water's still pretty chocolate milky over here in the Galveston side. About to go give it a whirl over on the Freeport side. Buddy was out there yesterday. He said it was a little bit tea stained, but he managed to make a good box out of it, so.
Where are you at?
Gungatron. Right now I'm 45. I'm going to be going over to Freeport.
No, I mean, you're going to be fishing Freeport? Yeah, that's what
the beachfront.
Okay. Right.
A little bit deeper. Gets a lot of that better water to push in, especially with that low wind all night. Should hopefully help it out.
Well, hopefully it all works out for you this morning. At least the wind's down.
Yeah.
But I don't know how good that water. I know the wind came up at my house after dark last night for some reason. And it was blowing like 20 and 25 when I went to bed, but when I got up at 2, it was dead calm.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess that has something to do with the moon or something like that. I'm not
the
biggest expert on it. But,
these days.
yeah, these days. But, man, real quick about them worms. Kind of a weird story. I used to deckhand for a buddy of mine out in Galveston, and we took this Oriental man out there about a year and a half ago, caught a bunch of trout on the jetties and whatnot, and it's kind of weird, flaying the fish, and as I'm flaying them, he goes, "What's that? What's that?" And I was like, "It's just worms, man. They just trout get them." And he asked me to pick out every single worm that was in the trout, and I was kind of boggled about what he wanted it for. And so whenever I finally get done doing, I was like, "Man, what are you going to do with this?" He told me, "I'm going to fry them, eat them." Said he loves them. I was like, "Man, well, that's I guess extra protein."
I guess so. And they say you can't even taste them, really. There's no, it doesn't change the flavor of the fish or anything like that, what I was reading.
If you're going to fry the thing, I mean, it probably ain't going to taste like nothing but the fry.
Well, that's true.
Go give it a whirl, be lazy today, and see how the surf pans out. And if Plan B comes into play, I'm going to go fish over around Cold Pass. There's been catching a whole lot of fish over in Cold Pass, all around Bird Island and whatnot.
Yeah, well, good luck to you.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like I said, it's been kind of weird, man. We've been having a weird weather, right? But I guess that's the summer season for you.
Well, I'll take this over what we've been having. We'll take it. No rain and calmer winds. We'll figure both out.
Yeah. Look at the forecast for today. They said after like 11 o'clock, it's supposed to be high 80s pushing into the 90s, and it's not supposed to get above like 6 or 7 miles an hour today. I'm like, oh, man, it is going to be a scorcher.
Yeah, and people need to watch out right now because I've noticed it, you know, me working in the yard around the house, I'm not used to this heat after having such a cool spring all year. So you need to stay hydrated. Mm-hmm. It'll get you.
Thousand percent. I work in the refineries, man. I can't tell you how many times you'll get that one dude that just, "I don't feel right," and keeps on going, man. He's like, "I got to sit down." I'm like, "Man, you need to drink some water."
That's it.
But, that's really it. Like, just summer, winter and spring and whatnot, you're just not used to it. And then summer being in Texas or southern Texas, it's your full force, and you're like, oh, man.
You got to get your body acclimated to it, and need to drink water, man. Drink as much as you can. Throw a Gatorade in there every once in a while. All right, Ian. Sure. Well, you have a good day today. I wish you good luck.
Yes, sir, you too.
You be safe down there. All right, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right, take care. All right, let's go to our next caller, Guitar Dave. He's up early this morning. Dave, what's up?
Hey, Cap. Hey, I just come in from Willis out there, and right at 45 headed north at Gulf Bank, it's totally shut down. So if anybody's trying to go out 45 heading north to Lake Conroe, I don't think they're going to make it there real fast right now.
Yeah.
But I did get to go. Yeah, I don't know what happened. It must have been 25, 30 police cars all around there, man. But I did get to slide by over there to April Plaza and see Tex Bonin and his grandson Hunter, you know, and right. I talked with them for a while. Yeah, he's going. Hunter's going into the Marines, man. Pretty soon
Tex told me.
So I got a hug from him and Tex, and we talked and everything, and then I had to go. What a bummer! I had to go help my girlfriend move from Conroe to Willis. but no, it's going to be pretty cool, you know, out there hanging around. I've been driving by there. I haven't been to Stubfield Lake Bridge yet, but I did go to Cagle Boat Launch over there and drove around through there. And everything's looking good and green, and I'm looking forward to. I'm thinking I'm gonna try to figure out how to set me some throw lines out there, mark them and everything, and then if I'll be right there in Willis, and then go ahead and put some throw lines out there, and then go home for a few hours and come back and check them, you know, and see what's happening. So
right,
but I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Fresh supper.
Oh, Lord. Hey, and they're working on well, I didn't go to the bridge yet, but they're working on the bridge. So to get to the Stubfield Lake Bridge, either you got to go down 1374 or 1375, but you can't cross the bridge and come – you can't do a loop, you know, going through there.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, hey, I know you got more callers, Kevin. I got a mess over here I got to clean up right now, and I'm going to head back up there and probably be there for 2 days here, and I'll be back Tuesday.
All right, Dave.
All right.
Hang in there, buddy. Be safe.
Yes, sir. Hey, thanks. Enjoy the show, and I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. See you. All right. Guitar Dave weighing in. All right, after the break, we've got Joe, Jim, and Royce. Y'all hang with me. I'll get to you as soon as I can. But first, I need to tell everybody about the CCA Star Tournament. It's the 32nd annual, and it's brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Tilson Homes, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And the great news from Star officials, with their inshore catch-and-release format this year, that's preserving our precious resource, especially after the February freeze event. They've stocked 180 reds, you know, tagged redfish into inshore waters. They did that just days before the tournament. And what that does, that triples your chances of winning great prizes from Star. Go to startournament.org. That'll give you all your info on rules, regulations, entry, and prize information. And the Star Tournament has more good news. They've added the Red Snapper division. It's back this year. Heaviest Red Snapper will win you a Polaris Ranger Crew 570 EFI with a Big Tex trailer to pull it on. Sign up at startournament.org or call the CCA at 713-626-4222. And the Star is brought to you by other great sponsors like Whataburger, Shellwater Boats, Mustang Cat, Dargle Boats, Haney Boats, Chris's Marine, McLean Trailers, just to name a few. Go to startournament.org and sign up today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 618 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go to Joe next. Joe is up next here on the phone lines. Joe, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hello, Mickey.
Good morning. How you doing?
How's it going?
I couldn't be better. And you?
What I called in is I've got a offshore buck that I've been putting out the last couple years. And every year I try to help people that are new to the game. Or then you have people that they'll change their GPS, they'll lose their numbers.
Uh-huh.
So I try to put that out to help them out. And I was a charter captain for 10 years, and then I fished the Gulf for 30 years, and I fished in the SKA tournaments for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
So I got a little experience.
Yeah, sounds like it.
this book is a little different. It not only has over 300 numbers out of Galveston and Freeport, but it also has, on a lot of them, the mileage and the type of fish you'll catch. You know, so that may help people out a little bit. If they ever want any advice or questions, just all they have to do is call me. I have a guy right now that's been calling me about tournaments.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to give him advice. But even if people just want advice,
that's nice like of you to do that.
How to catch big snapper, you know, how to, you know, catch kingfish, how to catch big kingfish. You know, right. All they got to do is call me and I'll tell them, you know, the best of my knowledge how to do it.
Right.
Because there's tricks to catching big snapper and you got to know where to go and fish and how to rig for big kingfish also.
Sure.
But anyway, I put out this book, and I like to help people.
It sounds like it.
And I think this will help them, you know. I know there's a few other books out there, but I don't think they have all the information that this book has.
Cool.
But I know
what's the name of your book? What do you call it?
I just call it Freeport Galveston Offshore.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, Joe. If somebody wants to call you about your book or want to pick your brain and strike up a conversation with you about offshore, throw them out a number, man.
Okay, it's 979-921-5029.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, I'm sure somebody will enjoy talking to you and taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I'm here. I like to help people, you know. That was one of the reasons I started chartering a long time ago, because I'd take my buddies out.
Right.
And I wouldn't fish. I'd be watching them, you know, catch fish. And so I said, shoot, I guess I'll maybe I need to start chartering, so that's what I did.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's amazing how we all got wrapped up in this. Most of us, one time or another, did it for.
Yeah, it is.
Turned into a lifelong profession.
Okay, that's about all I have.
Okay, Joe. Well, hey, thanks for the call. You have a great Sunday. Appreciate it. All right. That's Joe. All right, let's go to Jim in Pearland. Jim, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Love your show as always.
Thank you.
I gotta tell you, this surf thing is killing me the last two summers. I think all of last summer, of course, when I was off and had a chance to go and the weather was right, I probably went four times last summer, one time this summer, and the surf was down, but the water was still cruddy because every time you turn around, the wind switches direction, mm-hmm. and it's about to kill me. I've started freshwater fishing a little bit just because I got to get the tug, you know. The tug is the drug, so.
Yes, sir.
I got to try to catch some of these little nasty channel cats and stuff we got around here. But anyway, my question is, if the wind, let's say the wind laid down today, which it kind of has, and it stayed down, which it probably won't, how many days would you say it would take till that surf would clean up or I could get back to business? And I'll tell you what, I'll just hang up and listen, sir.
Okay. All right, Jim. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. You know, we've got all these rivers purging right now. They're, you know, all this water going into the Gulf and all the currents. We're on some really strong currents. And that I think you combine all those with all the freshwater runoff, and man, I'd have to be a wizard to tell you how soon or how quick it would clean up. But in general, you know, if it stays down today, now it's got west in it, and I don't like west in the surf. Any kind of west or southwest, it does roll it up. It'll, you know, that runs against the current that moves from the east, and it'll keep it stirred up somewhat, but. In general, yeah, in 24 hours when you get a lay down like this, you should have clean enough water, you know, for you trout fishermen that like to throw plugs in the surf. And if the water doesn't get so clean, then you have to go to something like, you know, use live bait, live mullet, live croaker, live shrimp, whatever you like to throw and fish in that ordinary to catch your fish. But at least you're not fighting big waves trying to wade it and fish it. But in general, yeah, you know, if it stays down today and it doesn't get too hard out of the west, you know, it stays under 10, and you should get some clean water by tomorrow morning. You know, if not, there may be a streak or two you can fish in today. You just got to go look. And it's been tough on surf fishermen for a long time. I remember when I was a kid, it was always right. Because I kind of wanted it to be rough so I could surf, but that's why I carried a surfboard and my rod and reels to the beach when I'd go down there for the weekend. Because you had the best of both worlds, but most of the time it was calm and fishable. You used to catch a lot of fish. It was predictable. All right, let's go to Roy Simmons up at Richland Chambers. Royce, good morning. What's up, bud?
Hey, man, speaking of fresh water, have I got a deal for you?
What's that?
That Trinity is still out of its banks, which I'm sure you're watching your Livingston flow.
You don't even have to tell me, man. It's an everyday occurrence. It's nasty right now. You know, Livingston's still a foot and a half above pool this morning. I guess all that water's coming from you, huh? Up your way?
It is. I don't know how long it's going to last. Probably another couple of weeks because the little lakes that are flood control that flow into Richland and the Chambers Creeks there, I think one of them's 6 foot above pool, and the other one's about 10 or 12 foot above pool, which, you know, they're small lakes, so they can bring them down pretty quick. But we've had the gates open for, what, about 3 or 4 weeks now, and I've seen them everything from like yesterday when we came home. There were only 4 of the 24 gates open because the Trinity just can't hold anymore. But a couple of days when our lake got a foot and a half above pool, which is unusual for our lake, the way they keep it, they had all 24 gates open. So, I'm listening to my buddies at Fish Whitney over on the Brazos, and I guess the same thing's true over there. The Lake Whitney was, I think he said yesterday, 13 foot above pool. They were fishing the picnic table pattern.
Good Lord. Yeah, the Brazos is on the rampage right now, too. You know, it's just nuts.
And I don't ever think about that, but if I'm talking to one of my guys at friends at Fish over there, and they're starting to come over to Richland Chambers because they really can't find any place easily to launch on Whitney. The parks are closed, so you got to have a roadbed or, you know, have some access other than the normal public does. But
that's same way with Rayburn right now, too. There's only a couple of ramps open on that big old lake. I mean, it's just... It's
really?
Only, yeah, it's 10 and a half feet to be above pool.
Wow. You know, through all this, we have caught fish, and it happens every year about June when, you know, a thermocline hasn't really set in, really. You may or may not be dealing with excess water, which we are this year. But, you know, the crappie, they slow down with all this fresh water. My buddies that are trying to fish the brush piles and post-spawn patterns are, you know, it's not easy like it should be in
right.
June. And, The striper guys, if they can find their big gizzard shad, they'll catch, you know, some hybrids out there, but not like normal. But the white bass folks, it has been so easy, April, May, and early June. And then this last week, you know, you got a little taste of humble pie. You had to burn some gas. You had to look for them. But we go through this every year. It's kind of, I call it a little transition period. They're not on the top water yet, but they're not on those humps and just stacked up like they have been for the last couple of months. So you'll start going up the creeks, working shallow water points, humps, and spots that turn into your regular summertime run. But we're probably a week or so away from starting every morning with a little top water, and then some days it'll just be acres of it when we get into, you know, July out there on the main lake. But right now, we're having to earn our pay a little more than, you know, it was just so easy during April and May, but it happens every year. I remind myself and go back and look at past June reports that it can make you, you know, burn a little extra gas and spend a little extra time. But like yesterday, I had a gentleman from Houston that met the son-in-law and the 10-year-old grandson from Mansfield. A lot of my folks do that. They kind of, it's a halfway meeting point for folks between your city and our cities up here. And we fished a rough morning with cloud cover, a little storm blowing through out of nowhere, and still put together a 60-something fish box. So, you know, it just, it 60 fish sounds pretty good to folks that don't fish a lot, but folks that fish Richland Chambers know that you can put that many in a box in an hour or two on some of those awesome spring days.
Oh yeah.
But it's been good. I don't know, are people able to fish the Livingston, the Conroe and stuff?
Yeah, they're fishing all the lakes. Yeah. Livingston and Conroe, I mean, they're fine. But
okay.
I think Conroe once this year, a couple of weeks ago they had to close it because it got too high.
And uh-huh.
But that only lasted 2 or 3 days. I got it drained down through our San Jacinto watershed that comes into our bay system here. So we've been getting a double whammy this year. And
wow, yeah.
A lot of fresh water all over Galveston Bay. You know, you got 600 square miles of water on Galveston Bay, and only about really 20% of it's fishable.
You know, fishable?
As far as clarity,
wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of fresh water floating around right now.
Yeah. You know, from a positive standpoint, though, I'm not hearing people use the drought word like we were afraid we would be in the late winter, early spring. So
that
part's good. The hill country even got some rain, and I know South Texas has been inundated with it. So
that's much needed, especially South Texas. That's where I hunt, and it was getting critical.
Yeah,
it's all good now.
It's okay, and we're going to enter summertime with a full lake and even a couple of gates open for a while. So,
that?
You know, I guess the only thing I wish we had was a few more days in a calendar. We just booked up in June, but we got openings in July and August to put some people on the lake. Kids are out of school now, and that's starting to show up in our primary customer for about 60 to 90 days. It's kids that want to be Bill Dance or whatever, so we try to accommodate.
Heck yeah.
It's been good. right, appreciate boys. The time to
hey,
to tout us
Thanks
and
for the call.
You bet. Have a good one, and hey, we'll throw
some info out. Somebody wants to get with you for July and August, man.
Oh yeah. Call us 903-389-4117. GoneFishing.biz. We can normally fix them up with a cabin at the marina and have a boat at the dock waiting on them at sunrise.
That sounds like a winner to me, buddy. All right, Roy.
Have a great week, okay?
Hey, you too. Take care, buddy.
Okay.
All right, that's Roy Simmons up on Richland Chambers. After we come back from this break, we'll go to Lonnie and Alvin, Steve, and then Rick Bice. You guys hang with me. I'll get you right after the break. But first, I need to tell everybody about Texan Roofing. They're the people I trust. You know, Tim and all the guys over there, I've fished with them. They're outdoorsmen like we are, and they do a fine job at their profession. Texan Roofing covers Houston and surrounding areas. Texan Roofing has free estimates on any roof leak repair or replacement. They do residential and commercial. And Texan Roofing has a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating with no complaints ever, and they're certified as a GAF Master Elite Shingle Applicator. So they can offer their customers the best material warranties available, and most importantly, a 25-year leak-free warranty. So if you're looking for honest roof inspections, a company that treats their customers like family with their A-plus installers and A-plus management, these are reasons to call Texan Roofing at 281-391-9600. That's 281-391-9600 or texanroofing.com. That's Texan Roofing, experience you can trust. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Can't believe it's already the final segment. All right, it's 6:38 here in the Bayou City. Next up on the call list, let's go to Lonnie and Alvin. Lonnie, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mickey?
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Oh, I think the sun might be up a little bit.
yeah, it is. Hey, at least the wind's down this morning. The sun's up, the wind's down. How about that?
It's good. Hey, I heard yesterday, actually, I watched it on TV, Barbers Hill won state yesterday.
Yes, they did. I'm proud of them. That's out my way, my backyard. And, you know, that's first time ever that in UIL history that two state championships have been won the same year by the same school, the girls' softball and the boys' baseball.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
That's pretty strong. I watched the Rockwall Heath Hawks beat the Keller Indians yesterday. I did catch that game, and they won that 4-3, and that was another record. First time in the UIL championships that all three teams won by one run. How about that? Barbers Hill won 2-1, and the Hawks won 4-3 over Keller. So that was pretty cool. I don't know what the other game. I didn't watch it. Didn't even know who played in 3A.
Barbers Hill's got a strong team. They beat us. You know, my son is. He's a junior, but he plays on the varsity squad at Friendswood.
Yeah,
and
he's
a
good pitcher from Friendswood.
Yeah, he's pretty darn good, Mickey.
Yeah, he is.
he's pitched over 90 innings now. I don't have the right number for all of this, but his earned run average is below one. It's below a .4.
Right.
For over 90 innings, that's amazing.
That is. That's incredible.
You know, the Barbers Hill team has got a coach and a son combination. I knew their name, but I can't remember anything anymore. There's some organization that keeps track of the kids that are looking at going to college. I mean, going to the pros right out of high school. and they track the top 100. Well, this boy that his dad is a coach at Barbers Hill, he's ranked number 78 out of that 100 to go to the pros right out of high school. They don't have too many questionable pitchers on that team either.
No,
they're super strong. I mean, golly, you just got to take your hat off to them.
I know the head coach there. He's been there a long time, Coach Stahlbaum. He's been there a long time, and he's really good with those boys out there. He's always had a strong program. But this year was a real strong one.
Yeah, it was. We were rocking along, with only one loss out of 30 games in the playoffs.
I know it.
I mean, not in the playoffs, but through the year.
Through the year, yeah. And y'all were tough.
Yeah, College Station beat us one game, and they put, those high school pitchers can only throw so many in one series. And
yeah, they can anyway, only throw so many innings a week, I think, something like that. You got a limit on it.
Well, it's more the number of pitches they throw.
Right. Really, that's what I meant by pitches. It used to be innings, now it's pitches.
Yeah. But anyway, my son in that series, he was down to 18 pitches, and they brought him in the middle game, and he had 18 pitches left. When he got to the last batter, he had 3 pitches left, and on the 18th pitch to that last batter, he struck him out with a fastball. The batter never moved his bat. And that was the 18th pitch. He's throwing in the 90s now. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good for a junior.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
But anyway, Mickey, I'm proud of him, but I'm really proud of the Barbers Hill crew, because I think they had the best. I just believe that.
Well, they played good when they needed to. That's what it takes.
That's
whoever's the hottest when it's time to go into the playoffs. You know, it's one thing getting there. You got to really be good to get there. But if you can continue that momentum into the playoffs, that's usually the team that does it.
Yeah.
Well, look what we've seen the Astros do at times.
Yeah.
They
beat Barbers Hill beat us 2 games straight in that 3-game playoff. So
yeah, I was really surprised at that. I figured that would have been they'd had a rubber game between those two teams anyway. But they turned it on when they needed to.
They did, buddy. They did. It. We couldn't hold them. But I tell you what happened in the one of the crucial innings. Friendswood put together 4 errors, and every one of them were really crucial.
Yeah, that hurts.
You can't do that against a team like Barbers Hill.
No.
Because they're going to take advantage of those errors. There ain't no doubt.
Yes, sir.
So, anyway.
All right,
I ain't making no excuses for Friendswood.
Hey, that's baseball. You know, Froghead wins.
Yeah.
We all know the ending in that one.
Yeah.
All right, bud. Well, hey, I got a couple more callers I got to give before the top, but it's good hearing from you. You take care, Ronnie.
Okay. You too, Mickey. And be
all
safe
right.
When you get on that water.
Oh, yes, sir. Always. You be good. Thanks for the call. See you, man. All right. Next up, let's go to Steve. Steve, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you today?
I'm good. And you?
Doing good. I'm actually on my way back from a fishing trip in Louisiana. So,
awesome.
I got exposed to a couple of baits, and I was going to ask you about them. Are you familiar with it's a shrimp bait. It's called Voodoo, V-U-D-U.
Yeah, Voodoo shrimp. Yeah, sure am.
Oh, man. boy, I was really impressed. The fish hit it hard, and but it's a real durable bait.
Yeah, it is.
I have not used that before, and this friend of mine lives in Louisiana, and that's one of their top baits. Sat in a matrix shad. We did real well with those. Both of those we did really good on. But
yeah, I'm familiar with both of them. They're good baits.
Two days, not one redfish. Of course, I bought a star tournament, or got in the star tournament in the Louisiana, division or whatever, and we didn't put one redfish in the boat, all speckled trout, which is not a bad thing. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, but isn't that the way it works? You wanting to catch some redfish, hoping you can get lucky enough to get one of those tags, and it just doesn't happen. That's fishing.
I'm telling you.
If I'm in a redfish tournament, I catch trout, and if I'm in a trout tournament, I catch reds. You know, we all know how that plays out.
we had a bad case of that, but it was okay. We sure had a good time. And
hey, at least you caught fish, man.
Yes, sir, we did. And these guys were constantly talking about how Texas – you know, with the limits are better, and really wish that Louisiana would kind of change their ways. And I was pushing it one way or the other. I just kind of sat back and listened. And
sure.
And they, you know, talked about how Texas protects the resources and much better at that. And I thought, well, that's good. I'm glad, because, you know, we don't get to put as many fish in the box, but we do have some quality fish for sure. So that was fun. But
Texas, it gets so much pressure. The population is so much more dense here, and so many more people doing it. You know, Louisiana, I mean, I guess the city of Houston probably has more people in it in this Houston area than the whole state of Louisiana. And but if they experienced the pressure that the Texas coast did, they would have to make some changes, without a doubt. But most everybody I know over there would like to see changes.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's
Before I run out of time, that voodoo shrimp you were using, what were y'all using that under, a popping cork?
Yes, sir. Horsemen popping cork.
Right.
And, I mean, it just, why waste money on live bait? And the guy I fish with doesn't use any live bait at all, ever. He just prefers artificials. But I know you got to run, but I just wanted to check with you and tell you how impressed I was with that voodoo shrimp. It was good. It was a blue moon with a chartreuse tail. It just
blue
wore
moon,
out.
Baby. That's a good one with a chartreuse tail. Yes. Heck, yeah. Looks just like a shrimp in the water.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much. Love your program. Have a good day.
Hey, you bet, Steve. Thanks for the call. You have a safe trip home. See you, man. All right. Let's go to Rick Bias. We'll finish up with him. Rick, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Hey, this week I was over south of Columbus on a property next to Smoke Gravel Pit Lakes.
Uh-huh.
When I say next to it, I mean, you know, right there.
Right there.
And those gravel pits, you know, I'm going to say they're probably 50, 60 yards wide and at least a mile long. And they've got a lot of lily pads down the middle. I'm sorry, down the edges. And I was there 2 days, and I saw two different bass boats. And these guys were waiting in the middle. I guess the way they dredged it, it's deep around the edge, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
And they were wading from the middle back in towards the lily pads, but they had a boat with a remote control trolling motor, and they'd keep that boat about, I'd say, 50 yards behind them. And I was just curious, you as a down on the coast, when you're getting out of your boat and you're wading with the tide action, maybe waves, do you have to anchor that boat or drop your poles, or can you use a remote in that kind of water?
Well, you mean when I get out and wade?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when I get out and wade, I don't trust that power pole. I mean, a boat can come by plowing and throw out a wake and, pull that power pole out of the mud and let that boat drift off and drag. I always put my main anchor out when I'm out wading. Especially
so
if you got a lot of wind.
So you got to wade back to your boat.
Yes. Now, you can do the remote control trolling motor deal and the power pole thing. And but if, you know, if you remote control malfunctions or whatever and you pull your power pole, I mean, there's too many iffy variables there where you can lose your boat and get you in trouble like that. I've seen it happen. You know, we've had people drown trying to swim to their boat when their power pole broke loose. And it's just, it's safer, and you know your boat's going to be there. It's not going to break loose, and you can go back and get it. We just, you know, that's the way I do it. It's safer because I've had the power pole come loose before, and luckily I was close enough to the boat I could get to it before it got too deep, and I could get in the boat and pull it back in. That taught me a lesson a long time ago to use your real anchor, always.
Years and years ago, I went wading over, I think, what they called the Exxon Discharge. I think there's a railroad track or something there. There's water coming out of, I don't know what it is, some kind of plant. It's got a, I know it's a real high bank. I mean, like real high.
What bay is this in?
I'm going to say it would be East Bay or Trinity. It's on the very north end. It's real.
Oh, that's Trinity Bay. You're talking about the old HLMP spillway, the outfall canal.
Okay. Yeah, I was waiting there one day, and a guy came across in front of me in probably the first big kayak I'd ever seen. And he went a couple of hundred yards down, and he dropped an anchor on the little beach there, which wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fishing, and I looked up, and this guy's running down that little beach, and his kayak had got away from him.
Yep.
And there was a north wind.
And that pushes straight kayak, out in the middle of the bay up there.
Well, it was kind of northeast in wind, and it was getting closer and closer to me, and I started kind of easing out a little further. I thought maybe I could snag it for him, you know?
Yeah.
And he was desperate. And then the next thing I knew, I lost the bottom. And I was casting at that kayak, and I had one more shot at that kayak, and I missed it right in the front of it. But I snagged the little rope, and it was do or die time. And I had to reel myself to that boat without breaking anything because I thought, man, I'm fixing to go to the Gulf of Mexico. And I made it to that kayak. I couldn't get in it. I just hung on to it, and that thing pushed me about a mile and a half to the west. And there was some houses up there. And I don't know how that guy found me, but I guess he started walking in people's yards. But his wallet and everything was in that kayak.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
we got a rope and pulled that thing out. But, boy, I tell you what, he was happy. I was happy because I just knew I was going out. But anyway, I made it.
Well, at least it was northeast. It'll push you down and into that shoreline down there, especially once you get down by Point Barrow there by North Point. It'll push you in.
Yeah, I was really scared at one time.
But if it had been a north or a northwest wind, it would push you straight out in the bay.
Well, I don't know the bay that well, but at one time, I remember I couldn't see any land anywhere.
Right. Well, that's not good.
Well, from being so low to the water, and it was a little wave action and rolling. And I finally saw it over there, so I started kicking and, of course, that thing's fighting the wind because I'm sideways on it. But anyway, made it out of it. But I was just curious how you did that in salt water because.
Yeah, that's the way
like
we do it.
I
put the anchor out. I can depend on that anchor.
I would be afraid. I'd be afraid of all the things you mentioned. Too much can go wrong out in that kind of water.
Too much, buddy. All right, Rick, I got to roll. I'm out of time. But hey, good hearing from you.
Thanks.
That was a nice bass you caught the other day. Great picture. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, thank you, Mickey. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But I hope everybody has a great Sunday. We'll be back next Thursday morning, 4 a.m. Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.